Oh, hallelujah. Isn't the Lord good? And he just gets better and better the closer we get to him. Amen. He didn't change, but he changes me. He changes you. Let's open up to the epistle of James, if you would. 1 James chapter 1. I'll tell you what's on my heart. As I've been praying, you know, this morning was amazing what the Spirit of God done in our lives, and that's just the start. He done some instant things, but he put some words in our heart that's going to build faith, that's going to lose faith, and it's going to be that truth in our life that will make us free. Amen. But so what we want to do is we want to make sure, like what Brother Corey's talking about, what Sister Donna was talking about, don't let the devil beat you up, or don't think that you don't see certain things at a certain time that it makes you nervous. Amen. But you keep acting on the word. I have to keep acting on the word. And so the word I heard was no more delays. No more delays. God will be just as quick in your life as you are to respond to him in his life. So I want to be quick to respond to him where he can be quick to respond to me. Amen. Because the Bible says God's not mocked, right? Whatever a person sows, that's what they... So we were going to sow no delays when God moves on our heart, and we're going to receive no delays. Now, I'm talking about when it's personal. Now, when you're dealing with other people, that changes everything because it's no longer just you and God. It's you and God, and that's a whole different thing. James chapter 1, let's start reading, if you would, in verse 16. James chapter 1, verse 16. When you're there, say amen. Now notice what he says right off the bat. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, if he tells us not to err, there's a good chance that we... So there's a possibility for us to be in error. So let's don't allow that to happen. And he's talking to the brothers and sisters. This is an epistle to the church. Notice what he says, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will beget us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19, remember verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man, woman, boy, and girl be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls, your mind, will, and emotions. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving, beguiling your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth, he lose out of his mind, he neglects what manner of man, woman, boy, or girl, he or she, what they were in the Lord. That's what he's saying. Verse 25, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man, this person shall be blessed in all of their deed. Verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man, this person's religion is in vain. Pure religion is undefiled before God and the Father, and is this, to visit the fatherless, the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself, themselves, unspotted from the world. Verse 19, remember this verse, that's where we're speaking from. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man, every person be swift, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for this opportunity.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for the word, Lord, straight out of heaven from the throne room to us, Lord.
Yes.
In our hearts, Lord, in our mind, Lord, the zealous in our
yes.
spirit to run boldly, on boldly, and give you all the glory and praise.
Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the word. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for letting us be a part of your life and you be willing to be a part of ours. Amen. It's truly a blessing. Now, in your life and my life, we're going to have all sorts of delays. I mean, and as we see society moving toward, you know that our society is collapsing, right? We need to be awake. We need to be alert. The Lord is putting in my heart a message. We'll minister on that as soon as He gives me the leeway. But society, as you and I know it, is collapsing, and we need to not be rocked to sleep. We need to be awakened. And so I'm going to have to preach a little different for the next few services, because the Spirit of God said that my church has become rocked to sleep by a false gospel. There's a comfort in a false gospel. And so, and I said, Lord, they're not going to like to hear some of these things that you're showing me. And He said, and Brother Corey said it, you know, He said, I didn't call you to be their friend. I called you to go and make disciples. And so, you know, sometimes we're challenged. But anyway, we'll be talking about some things in the near future that will really make us aware of what's going on. Because you and I, we can drive down the road with the gas light on all we want to, but it's going to run out of gas.
Yes. Right.
Things can't keep going the way they are. So there's going to be a change. But thank God you're in Christ. Amen. The unchangeable one. So, but delays are going to happen in your life. I just, you know, think about it. The shipping delays that we're seeing now, you know, and everything being held up in the seaports and all that. Think about, thank God I don't have to travel by plane. But, you know, I was looking at the different statistics. The top 10 airplane carriers, they're only on time about 77% of the time. That's a lot of delays. There's one, itinerant air or whatever, it's just on time about 62% of the time. So there's a lot of delays in life. Think about you sitting at the doctor's office. Come on, you got a 3 o'clock appointment, you walk in at 5 o'clock. You know, all of these things, there's delays. So reason why I'm talking about this evening, I want you and I to think about the quickness of Jesus, but also the quickness of Judas, and then the quickness of the ladies at the tomb. And we're going to look at those three things, and we're going to take them home, and we're going to apply them. Now, look what he said. We'll reread it one more time, verse 19, James 1 and 19. He said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man, every person, be swift. He said, I want you to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, we've got two Greek words that we're looking at tonight, takous and taku, and both of them has to do without delay. To be prompt, to be quick and ready. So here he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every person be without delay in their hearing. Let them be prompt. In other words, hear and respond. Hear and respond. And so when he's talking about hearing from God and responding to God, not hearing what you're hearing in the world or in the flesh, and not responding with wrath. Come on, everybody, you see road rage. You see people angry in parking lots. You see people angry in line. They're fighting to get ahead of you and all these things. People are in a place, in a position of wrath, but you're in a place, in a position of the peace of the Lord in and on your life and God's grace working there. So you and I, he said that you were begotten in the verse before that, verse 18, you were begotten by the Spirit of truth, the Word of truth. So you're born of truth. That means that you have the ability to spot a lie. You have the ability to spot a deceptive work of the enemy and know to keep your mouth shut. Because when the moment you and I open our mouth in the negative, everything grows. I mean, it magnifies. It just opens everything. So tonight we want to be quick to hear the word of God. Now, notice what he said in verse 22. He said, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving, beguiling your own self. So I got to realize, as we talked about this morning, as we opened up that service, there is a spirit in the world today that wants to bring deception. And Jesus, Paul, they were very clear that you and I needed to take heed that we be not deceived. So the only way we cannot be deceived is be quick to hear the Lord. Amen. So let's talk about that, and let's build ourselves up. I want us to see some things, like I said, in the Bible that'll be about the power of God for you and I. Now, in the Word of God, in Luke chapter 6, I want you to see this. This is the way Jesus wants you and I to operate. Now, see, if we're in a place, in a position, if we're not careful, the devil will always try to put us in a place of defense, in a place of where we think we can't hear from God, or if we do hear from God, we won't have the ability or the understanding to do what God would have us to do. And that's not true. When you have the teaching anointing, 1 John 2:20 says that you have that unction, you have that charisma, you have that 1 John 2:20 and then verse 27, you have that teaching anointing that abides and lives in you. So whatever the Spirit of God speaks to you, you have the ability to bring it forth. So let's look at the quick reaction of Jesus. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 12. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that he," Jesus, "he went out into a mountain." He went out into a mountain. He got into a place where most people wouldn't be willing to go. See, you're going to have to climb up to where God's at. Moses climbed up to where God's at. Thank God that he gives us the strength, he gives us the direction, and he'll meet us when we're going through valley times and troubles. But if we really want to hear from the Lord, we've got to get up above this world, up above this flesh, and get alone with him. He said, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray." To pray. "And he continued all night in prayer to God." That word would be better translated, prayer of God. Prayer of God. So he was inspired by the Spirit, and he prayed exactly what the Holy Spirit was coming from God the Father and putting it in the very heart, the Spirit of Jesus. And he prayed that out. Said that he continued. See, Luke is a medical doctor. And so this word continued in prayer, it's a medical term. And if you read this in Matthew 14, you don't have the medical word there because you don't, you know, Levi, he's not a doctor. So I think it's so cool how the Gospels are personable. Come on, you're serving a personable God. He uses your knowledge, your understanding. He uses your experience and all those things because he wants to bring a gospel out that reflects him in you. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. A lot of people don't want anything to do with us. But Jesus said, "I want to bring a revelation of my son out of my church and according to who they are and what I've made them, and I want to use everything about their life." That's exciting, is it not? Okay. It says, verse 13, "And when it was day," so he continued all night in the prayer of God, "and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom with also he named apostles." Now, can you think about this? Here Jesus is. He's getting the mind of the Father. He was quick to hear. He was swift in what he heard, and then he wouldn't deceived. He heard the Word of God, and he immediately put the Word of God into action. See, if you and I, when we hear the Word of God, if we don't put it into action immediately, we'll start doubting what we've heard. The devil will start working on our mind. I mean, there's been times that you know, I just knew that I knew that I knew, and I didn't act on it right then, and then it got harder and harder. Has the Lord ever told you to stand up and say something in church, or say something to somebody in line? And if you'd have done it the moment that unction come on you, you had the freedom and the liberty to do it, but you held back, or I did, and then it was forceful. You know, you had more things to fight through. Well, here Jesus is, he's been alone with God, and he comes back. See, you get alone with the Lord, but the moment that you get in your place of ministry, You're meeting the devil. Come on, when you leave the place of God, it's you and the Lord, and then you come into the place of ministry, there's every demon, that's every lie, that's every hurt, that's every disappointment in people's lives, and you've got to know that you know that you know that you heard from God, and then you've got to make the decision to follow His leadership, amen? So we want to be quick, no delays. So Jesus comes down, and Jesus was always touched by what everybody was feeling. But before that got on him, what did he do? He chose. Think about it. At this time, there's about 500 what he called disciples, and he was able to pick out the 12 that were going to be the apostles. Oh, glory. Now, do you believe that Jesus laid down his deity and was filled with the Spirit of God like you and I? He was fully God, but yet he was fully human. And he was led by the Spirit and he walked in there. Amen? So you and I could do the very same thing. Amen? All right. Now, and we won't read all that, but you notice he picked them out. But I want you to see what happened. Verse 17. And he came down with them. So I want you to imagine. Jesus gets along with God. He's on the mountaintop. He prays this prayer. And his prayer brings the people to where he's at with God. Come on, because he stood with them. Notice what it says. He came down with them. So he was able to, he brought what he got from God, that truth, that relationship, and he stood with them. So in standing with them where they were at, he brought them up out of the place of fear and doubt. And he said, listen, God Almighty has a name for you. You're going to be my disciple, but you're going to be more than that. You're not just going to be my pupil, but you have to start and have to stay a pupil. But I'm going to take you from that to I'm going to make you an apostelos. I'm going to make you an anointed sent one. That's you and I. Brother Corey talked about the Great Commission. See, when you and I, when we go in the Great Commission, that's what we are. That's what an apostle is, somebody who goes in the name of the Lord and you establish the work and the will of God. So he stood there with them. Now, can you imagine the presence of that Jesus had on his life of the Father and the Holy Spirit and this revealed word, and then he spoke it into their life? Can you imagine the excitement, the anticipation? All right, and he came down with them, and he stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, a great multitude. So you got the whole company now. You got a great throng of people out of all of Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, look, and to be healed of their diseases. So here Jesus is. Jesus is one. He's the Son of God, but he's the Son of Man. And he's one person. But now he has called out these ones by the will and the plan of the Father. He's heard the word. He's acted on the word quickly. And he's gave them a calling. And now what he can do, he's fixing to distribute it to them where they can do the same thing. See, John 14:12, you can do the same works that Jesus did. Amen? Because you're being with Jesus. Not being, you're being with Jesus. Amen? So we need to be in that place where I'm quick to hear that, and then I'm quick to act on what I've heard because I know it'll be a blessing. Verse 18, and they were there that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were what? All right, so verse 17, they were healed of their diseases. Verse 18, those that were vexed with unclean spirits, they were healed. Verse 19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue, there went dunamis, there went power, miracle working power out of him, and he healed those that looked pretty. Wow. You mean Jesus is no respecter of persons? He heard the word. He got the mind of the Father. The mind of the Father was, I want you to call these. I want you to name them. But then I want you to go down and I want you to show those that you have put a call, a name on. I want you to show them what they can do. Don't tell them what they can do. Show them. See, when you and I get along with the Lord, He shows us what we can do in His name. I can do all things through Christ. I can be in that place of patience. I can be in that place of expectancy. But I can be in that place of peace no matter what's going on. Because Jesus is going to show me, He's going to show you how He overcome. Because He overcome, you and I, we're overcomers. Amen? So you and I, we need to be quick to hear like Jesus. And if we're quick to hear like Jesus, then we're going to be in the place where all sorts of wonderful things is going to happen. People are going to be touched. We've got to expand our horizon. See, the devil's conditioned us to say, well, you know, about 3 or 4 times a year, there'll be a move in the church. And maybe once or twice a year, you get to witness to somebody out in the world and they might be blessed. You and I, we need to expect to see somebody saved every place we go. It's possible. But we got to believe it. We got to believe that we're following in the footsteps of the Savior. Amen? So I got to be quick to hear. Jesus said that you and I were His own. He said that we had an anointing. He said that we had an abiding truth in us that made us free. He said we had a wisdom that would impart truth to people that would cause them to have a confidence in a God that loves them more than anything else. I got to be quick to act on that instead of let the enemy put me back in a corner. Come on, it's real easy to act on what the devil says. Because why? Because it's easy to be negative. It's easy to be discouraged. It's easy to be quiet. Well, sometimes for me. Now notice one more verse and we're going to change. Look at verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes. Now remember, this is the Sermon on the Plain. It's the contrast to the Sermon on the Mount. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples. And he said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. We don't have time to go through the rest, but I want you to see, he got that because he was praying of the Spirit of God. And God said, I want you to name some that will work with you, and then I want you to confirm the word with signs following, Mark 16, and then I want you to give them a brand new word. See, people think that they know the Bible. Come on, a lot of times something said, oh yeah, I know that verse. But see, the Word of God is quick. Hebrews 4:12. Quick means it's alive because the Word is Jesus. That means I know a little bit about Jesus. But Jesus is so big, amen, that when I'm alone with Him, He ministers to me. I see something out of the Word that I never saw before. I thought I knew it, and I knew one part of it. I knew one aspect. I knew a little bit from my experience. But now He's opening up the Word of God. Remember on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, He's walking with the disciples that had not done what He told them to do. He said, you wait in Jerusalem, wait. But they didn't do that, so He went after them. And as He's walking with them, the Bible says He expounded the Word of God to them more perfectly. And the Bible says that their eyes were open. In the Greek, it says their eyes were open as a newborn babe. They got born again. Hallelujah. Because why? Because Jesus gave them a new word. So here's a new word. He said, blessed. Blessed be you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Tonight, because you are blood-bought, blood-washed, you are a part of God's kingdom. You're an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're blessed. The Bible says who God blesses. Come on, we can't go by any other knowledge. Amen. I got to be quick to hear. I can't deceive myself. When the devil says I'm cursed, no. God can't lie. I am blessed. I'm not going to deceive myself. I'm not going to beguile myself. I'm going to be quick to hear what God says about me. Don't you think God knows you better than anybody else? Okay. Let's go to John 13. There's the quick response of Jesus. Let's look at the quick response of Judas, which is really the quick response of the devil. You know, James 2:19 says, the devils believe and tremble, but it doesn't do them any good. We need to believe, we need to tremble, but we need to what? We need to hear the word and act on it. All right. For sake of time, look, start at verse 24. Luke 13:24. Simon Peter, therefore, beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. This is where Jesus is talking about a betrayal that is going to happen in his life. Verse 25. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Verse 26. Jesus answered, He it is to whom I give a sop, I give this morsel, when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, the morsel, the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now I want you to think about that. Jesus, being who he is and being the begotten Son of God, being of love, because he is love. Here he is. Can you imagine this? He's having this communion supper, this last supper, even with Judas. Even with the devil there. Now, why am I saying that? You can worship the Lord. I can worship the Lord even with the devil there. We can eat from the Lord's table even when the devil is there. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? What am I saying? I'm saying you can hear by the Spirit of God when the devil is there trying to shut off your ears, trying to harden your heart, trying to bring discouragement and a cloud over your eyes. John was talking to Jesus. Here sits Judas, and the devil is right there on Judas's shoulder, but the word's going forth. So don't be discouraged. Don't let the devil tell you, oh, I can't hear from God. I've got this problem. I've got that problem. Or I thought this, or I've done this. No, we're living in grace right now. Let the grace of God, let that abiding light be your hope and your confidence. Amen. Okay. Verse 27. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Notice this. Now, this is a scary thing. Because what does the Bible say? What did Paul teach us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about taking the Lord's Supper unworthily? So Satan was just there. But now his heart hasn't been right. The Bible calls him a thief. And his mind was continually on the money bag and all of these things. And so the moment that he takes communion in sin, here comes the devil. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, notice this, that thou doest, do it quickly. Now I want you to think about this. See, this is why it's so important for you and I to know that Jesus hears the word and he responds quickly. You and I need to hear the word and respond quickly, because he's in this section of scripture. You can go to Genesis 3:15 and you can see about the in verse 18 of this same chapter, it says, I speak not of you all, I know whom I've chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me have lifted up his heel against me. That's Genesis 3:15. Remember? So, in Psalms 41, Jesus, it's a messianic psalm because it talks about my own familiar friend has lifted up his heel against me, has come against me. See, the devil will use anything and everything against you and I to try to discourage, try to destroy us. But here, Jesus is in that place and he says, listen, Judas, listen, devil, what you do, verse 27, that thou doest, doest quickly. Now, drop down to verse 30. He, Judas, but possessed with the devil, he that then receiving the sop, that morsel, went out when? Immediately. So went immediately out, and it was night. So there's your word. Immediately. It's without delay. Tachos. So Jesus, he told James to tell us to be quick, to be swift to hear the word and act on it. And then Jesus showed us how he got alone with the Father and prayed and heard the word and he acted on it. And here we even see that a backslidden follower of Jesus that ends up possessed by the devil, you can say Judas or you can say the devil, either one, whichever you want to, they had to act on the word immediately. Now, you say, well, not necessarily. Yeah, everything happens in the timing of the Lord. See, Isaiah prophesied 700 years to the day before Jesus would be born. Do you think Jesus was born the moment that God had ordained it? Come on. The prophecy had to come to pass.
Yes.
The Word of God, God's Word is right, it's true. His Word never fails. His Word doesn't return unto Him void. And so everything that's in this Bible, it has a prophetic timeline. So the Word is true. You can bank on the Word. So be quick to hear. So what my point is, if even a fallen devil had to act immediately, when Jesus is in control of your life if you'll allow Him to be. Amen? He's in control of my life if I would allow me. Now, I can get in disobedience. That's what bothers me. So many people, something bad will happen. They say, well, I don't know. God's in control. Did you give Him control? Because the things that happened bad in my life, 99 and 9 tenths of them, I know I caused them. I ain't talking about you, so don't get mad at me. I'm talking about me. Quick to hear. Let's go to Matthew 28. And let's look at the ladies. I love to read about the ladies and their obedience. Matthew 28, verse 1. Look how quick they were to hear. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Aren't you glad that you and I, we know that the tomb's empty? They didn't know what you know. They can't feel what you feel at that because they're on that side. Verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. I love it that the workers of Jesus can sit on the stumbling stone of the devil. Amen? His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, whom you crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Now look at verse 7. And go quickly. There's your word, taku. From the prime of takus, it means, you know, without delay. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. Now look what their response is. Verse 8. And they departed how? Quickly from the sepulchre with fear, reverence, and great joy, and they did run to bring his disciples word. Oh, glory. So they got a word from an angel. See, God's got ministering spirits that want to work in your life and my life today. We're seeing more and more demon spirits that are working. Do you think God is not going to loose more angels? We don't worship angels. But we thank God for angels, because sometimes you and I, we may need a warning angel. We may need a messenger angel. We may need, and I don't want to get it off on that thought that we think that we're lifting them higher than what they're supposed to be, but they're in your life for a purpose, for a reason. And so this angel brings them this message, and immediately they know that it's the word of God, and they go quickly. The Bible says they go so quickly that they run. Can you imagine? Now think about the disciples. They're hid. They're not running anywhere. They will after they hear the word. See, the word will make you move. If you'll act on it, if I'll act on it, it'll make you move. So they did run, and they brought this word. And look at the blessing that come in their life. Verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Go tell my brethren that they that go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Jesus confirmed the word to them. Jesus will always confirm the word to you and I. Amen. But I want you to see that they reacted. They heard that word. Be quick. Be swift to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. But be swift to hear. And so we need to be quick when we hear the word of God. We need to move on it. Amen. And here we've got three examples. And all three show us what happened when the word was acted on. See, because in the negative, even as Judas or the devil or the serpent or whatever you want to call Satan, as that word was acted on, I'm saved tonight. You're saved tonight because of it. Because they killed Jesus. They crucified Jesus, a sinless Lamb of God. You and I, we have the blood. We have. So negative or positive, it doesn't matter. God can use it for your benefit, for my benefit. So I need to be in the place and the position where I say, Lord, what are you saying to me? What do you want me to do? I want to be quick. I want to put the word to practice. I want to hear it. I don't want to take any chances. Amen. Do you realize that you are the key to somebody stepping into heaven? See, because you represent, you bring, you present the Lamb of God. And when you represent, when you present the Lamb of God, when you give people the opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord, that's what this life's all about. Can we look at something else, or you want to quit? Look at Luke 14, and I want you to see something. This is, to me, this is the saddest story that turns good. Don't you like stories that have a happy ending? Raise your hand to heaven. I'm the one that makes the happy ending. God's going to use you to make the happy ending. Amen? Luke 14, 16. Then said he unto them, Jesus teaching, he said, a certain man made a great supper, and bade, called, invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. And I must needs go and see it. We alluded to this last week. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I have to go prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed the Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, So God can get angry. The Bible says that smoke, when somebody messes with you, it's like them touching the pupil of his eye and he gets wroth. It says smoke comes out of his nose. Now, I've been mad before, but I don't know. Can you imagine? Come on, God is a righteous God. God is not just a God that loves. God is love. So when they mess with you, it's a serious thing. But can you imagine him here? His heart was for everybody to come to heaven. And here he's alluding to the Jewish nation. And he had blessed the Jewish nation. And he was talking about what he had for them. And they rejected it. They'd rather have this world than heaven. They'd rather have this moment than eternity. They'd rather have materialism than what God from the beginning of time had ordained for them. Look what he said, that last part of 21. He said, go out how? Quickly, there's your word. Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Glory, verse 22. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. So he brought you and I in to bring other people in. Come on, our lives was a broken mess. I was bound in every kind of sin, every kind of deception. I was completely controlled by my own desire, my own wills. And if I didn't get what I wanted, I could pout better than anybody else. Amen? You be quiet. Hallelujah. Come on now. So God, he brought us into his kingdom in our condition. Come on, in our condition. And he put his blood of his son on us. He put his word and washed us in that word. And he took everything that was wrong and he made us a child of God. He made us right. Look what happens. Because there's still room. Verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be what? Filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. You and I, we've got a call on our life to go and to go quickly and to believe that we're going to make a difference. You can make a difference. Heaven is so big. We don't even understand about the universe and the light still going and galaxies being formed. We don't even know. Thank God for this earth and thank God for the new earth and the new heaven we're going to get. But you and I, we're going to be able to transport and go from one place to the next place just with a thought. Those animals that you love, you're going to be able to communicate with them.
Right.
Heart to heart.
Holy.
There will be nothing in his kingdom that will offend. Can you imagine what he has for us? And so heaven is so big. And so I need to be in the place. Okay, Jesus went after those that were halt and maimed. And they had this wrong and that wrong. And they were in this sin and they were in that sin. He went and told his servant to go. Now he's told me, he's told the church, go ye into all the world. There is no sin that's too big. There is no stronghold that's too big. Heaven's big enough to hold everybody, and Jesus is the one that can change everybody. Amen? But we got to do it quickly. You're the key. You're the key. You know the only reason why America is still here? It's because of the Christian. That's the only reason. The moment the church stopped being the church, the moment the Christian stops being the Christian, look out. quickly. Don't you love it? Go out quickly. And he tells us where to go. He was very precise. He was very precise. So the hope in your heart tonight is, because the devil wants to tell every one of us, because I know that that everyone deals to a certain degree what I deal with. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. Yes, we do. He'll tell us. Just be available. When you recognize and realize in everyday life that he's ordering your steps, something can become an amazing miracle moment. Amen? All right, in closing, there's six times in the book of Revelation that Jesus talks about coming quickly, but let's just read three of them in Revelation 22, just to get it one in our heart how he thinks. Look in verse 7, Revelation 22, 7, Jesus says, "Behold," in other words, see this, understand it, get a grip on it, let it be your driving force. "Behold, I come," how? "Blessed is he or she that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Now drop down and look at verse 12. He said, "And behold, I come," how? "Quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be." Drop down to verse 20. "He which testify these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." So here's what we got to see. We got to see that sometimes the Lord gives us a word. And we got to, like you and I, we've been waiting for 2,000 years for the Lord to come. And so some people would say, like Peter prophesied and warned us about, they'll say, "Where is the Lord in the sign of his coming?" You know, we've heard this all of our life. But when the timing of God's word, see, you and I, we're living in the Chronos time. If we're walking in the flesh, if we're walking in the mental realm, we're living in the Chronos time. That just means I'm looking at my watch and 1 second goes into the next second. But God's word isn't set up on the Chronos time. It's set up on the Kairos time. It's set up on the miraculous moments of God's word. God speaks like he spoke Jesus, the prophecy of him in Genesis 3:15. And then 4,000 years later, Mary gives birth to Jesus. But that was quickly because he spoke the word. And in God's eyes, it happened instantly. We just didn't see it. So God wants us to think like God. He wants us to act like God. We were talking about Abraham a moment ago. He got into a covenant with the father of faith. And when he got into that covenant, he got Abraham in the place. He showed him and said, "I want you to call those things that be not as though they were." So in God's eyes, if we'll come in agreement with him, we'll be quick to hear and quick to act on it. That chronos moment that we're stuck in can be changed to that kairos moment, that miraculous set occasion. Amen? It's available to us, but we got to be in that place of anticipation and not ignore the little things. Amen? Now, like this morning, the words that you heard this morning, apply them. Hold on to them. Don't let the devil take them away from you. And as you start applying that, it's going to be not a long ways down the road. It's going to be quickly. Amen? I'm sorry. I don't think I've done a very competent job bringing this out, what's in my heart. I don't feel a release on it, but that's the best I can do. I want to close with this thought. Here's what happens if we don't respond to a need quickly. I want you to go back with me to Chicago, Illinois, May of 1992. In January of 1992, they had been doing some work on the Kensington Bridge there, and they was worried about barges and different things damaging that bridge. So the city, they paid some contractors to come in there and to put in new pilings to protect the piers of the bridge and different things. And so they did that. Well, just a few days later, one of the city inspectors, he was going through the tunnel. See, a lot of people, unless you was a city inspector, you didn't even know those tunnels were there. Those tunnels were used back in the late 1800s and the early 1900s, and they took things under the river from one side to the other. Some was illegal activity back during Prohibition, but then other times it was legitimate business. But they had forgot about it. And what somebody decided to do was to remove all the watertight doors off of these tunnels. And so they did that, and years went by. But you see, when they drove those pilings down, one piling, they miscalculated, and it went an inch too far. 1 inch. And so this inspector, he's going through there, and when he gets under there, he sees this great place where the concrete's cracked, and he sees moisture. He takes a picture of it, and he goes back to City Hall, and he takes it to the mayor, and he said, "Hey, we've got a problem." He said, "Here's the problem." He said, "When that one of those pilings, it's come through, it's cracked the concrete, this is all moist." And he said, "There is no doubt that's going to cause problems in the future. We need to take care of it." The mayor looked at it. He showed it to the regular other councilmen. And they said, "Well, in a few months, we'll get a bid on that and we'll see what we can do about it." And said, "Let's don't worry about it right now." In the meantime, this inspector kept going back. We went from just a wet spot to now we've got the concrete dropping. We've got mud falling in. We've got water seeping. He's frantic trying to tell them. And they said, "We'll worry about it later." Said, "It's going to cost us $50,000 to patch that. And we don't want to spend the money right now. Don't you know the economy is in a mess?" So they didn't do it. Well, guess you know what happened. That broke through, and when that broke through, you had 200 million metric tons, 200 metric tons of water that started flowing through there. It flowed downtown, and every business that had basements, they were all flooded. And you could be walking on the street, and listen to this, this is prophetic, I want you to, this is by the Holy Ghost. The people were walking on the street, everything's fine. They don't know that what's going on underneath. There's a lot of Christians right now, they're walking their life, living the path, and you don't know what's going on underneath. But God does, and God's your source, amen? So instead of spending $50,000 to patch this, it cost $2 billion. So the Holy Spirit told me to ask you, because He told me to ask myself first. So if He told me to ask me myself, then I'm going to ask you, is it worth it? Is it worth it to not act quickly when the Spirit of God is talking to us? I need to act. Yes, brother. I need to act when the Holy Ghost is talking to me, when He's revealing Jesus to me. I need to be quick to hear, because it's going to cost so much more down the road. See, there have been things that I went through with my family that took years to settle, but I didn't do what God wanted me to do in the beginning. And so God was faithful. He walked with me the whole time. He held my hand. He patted me on the forehead. But at the same time, He said, amen. I'll just be honest with you. I asked the Lord this morning, after service, I was sitting in here by myself, and I said, "Lord, I've really worked hard on that sermon. I studied and I prayed and I know that You dropped that in my spirit and You put it all together." I said, I got up real early this morning. I said, "Why didn't You tell me we was going to do what we was going to do? Because I could have been praising You, or I could have been doing anything, but Why didn't you tell me? And you know, if you ask God a question, he can be very blunt. And he said, because you wouldn't have believed me anyway. And I said, what? He said, you didn't have enough faith to believe me. You only had enough faith to believe that you'd be ready for the service if you studied what I gave you last week. God's good. But see, he helps us. He tells us the truth. And if we'll hear the truth, then we can be changed. We can grow. We can mature. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your love and your patience. I thank you for always speaking the truth in love. I thank you, Lord, that as a group of believers that we can be honest with one another, that we can open up our hearts, souls, and lives, and each one of us can see you working in us and through us. Lord, I ask you right now that every word that you spoke this morning and what the people pull out of these testimonies tonight and what you might have spoke to them during this message tonight, that starting right here with me, that we'll be quick to hear, that we won't just be hearers only, but we'll be doers, that we'll put to practice what you lay on our heart, where we can avoid pitfalls and we can see that there's possibilities, there's an anticipation, there's an expectation to go out and to add to your kingdom. Lord, touch every one of us. Just help us be in that place where we're so humble to you that there's no avenue for pride to work. There's no avenue for the love of God to be stifled in any form or fashion, but that we're just flowing in the truth and we're letting the love of God be the barometer for everything that we do and we say. We ask this in the name of Jesus.